Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in.
Amen. So thankful for everyone that is serving. How about that breakfast this morning? Yeah. Did you all stay up late last night? Did you? Yeah. You stayed up late, Addison, did you? This is September 11th. I've not missed that fact. I was going to just share a message about September 11th and about how that's what occurred on that day is daily what the enemy wants for us. But the people of God hold at bay that kind of destruction because of not just who you are, but whose you are. Okay, and that's all I'm going to say about that. I want to talk today about something different that God put on my heart this morning. I think it's important to talk about worship, and the crucial nature of worship to the believer. So I just heard this story, and I think it bears repeating. It's almost true. There was a woman who died and went to heaven, and she was met there with all of these other women. And they were shown to what looked like a department store. Remember the old department stores that had many floors to them? Remember the Troutman building here in town? Some of you. Does anyone else besides me remember the Troutman building? Let me see here. Yeah, okay, yeah, you remember, okay, all right. It had like, what, six floors? There were different things on different floors and so on. Well, these women went to heaven, and this was a department store for a husband. And so, yeah, I know, I'm just telling you, this is the story that's almost true. So they go in, and they said, now here's the only condition, you can only go up, you can't go down. Once you pass a floor, you can't return to that floor. But whatever floor you choose to choose a husband from for all of eternity, you can have that. And just as a caveat, it was Joyce Myers that actually told this story originally, okay? And so the women go into the first floor, and they say, on this floor, every husband in here, every husband is a working man, has a job. Ladies are like, oh, okay, good. That's a good qualification. The couple ladies that were there said, but, you know, maybe we need to go to the next floor. And so they go to the next floor. And on this floor, every man has a job and helps with the housework. Ladies are like, oh, okay. Well, I'm glad we went to the next floor. So, of course, being curious, they decide to go to the next floor. On this floor, every man is a working man, has a job, enjoys doing housework, and is good looking. All the women like, woo, you know, this is getting better. And so they go to the next floor. And the next floor, every man is a working man, likes to do housework, is good looking, and loves their children, and is a great dad. And like the women are like, woo, this is getting better. We got to go to the next floor, fifth floor. Every man is good looking. Every man is likes to do housework. Every man loves his children. Every man is good looking. And I mean, not only is every man good looking, but on this floor, every man is drop dead gorgeous. And the women are like ecstatic, like we got to go to the next floor. So the next floor, every man has a job. Every man loves his children. Every man is good looking and drop dead gorgeous. Every man loves his children. Every man loves doing housework. Every man loves his wife with all of his heart. And these women are like, oh my goodness, we got to go to the next floor. And so they go to the next floor. And they said, there are no men on this floor. This floor is to prove that it is very difficult to please a woman. That was at a women's ministry conference. I'm just repeating what she said. This is not the opinion of this house. I'm just saying. Guys, that one was for you, okay? Help me later, okay? Hey, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Chronicles 25, verse 1. It says, moreover, David and the commanders of the army. Say that, the commanders of the army. We read this morning, and the Lord began to speak to me about this, and he said, listen, this is what I want you to talk about to the people of City Church. And he said, moreover, David and the commanders of the army set apart for the service some of the sons of Asaph and Heman and Juduthan, who were to prophesy from lyres, harps, cymbals, and the number of those who performed their service was, and goes on, talks about the number. But there's one guy I want to kind of focus on in particular. His name is Heman. Verse 4, it says, of Heman, the sons of Heman, Bukiah. Now, there, I believe, are 14 sons of Heman. And I want to just take a very brief look of each one of the sons because I think they're important. Bukiah, his name means proved of Yah. Now, Yah is the prefix of the word Yahweh, okay? And it basically means God, okay? Bukiah, proved of God. Mattaniah, gift of Yah, or gift of God. Uzziel, my strength is God. Shebuel, captive or returned of God. Jeremoth, the name of the number of Israel. Now, you understand, in the Hebrew language, names or words also had a corresponding number to them. Now, this guy's name was actually a number that corresponded to Israel. And what you could translate that is that he is numbered with the people of God. Okay? And then Hananiah. Yah has been gracious, Hanani, to show favor. Eliatha, God has come. Gidalti, I magnify God. Romanti Ezer, I have made lofty help. Josh Bekashah, hey, this is interesting, a hard seat. I kind of, when I read that, it was like a hard case. The Holy Spirit said, no, that's not what it means. It means that it is a house that is immovable. A seat is the place you dwell, a hard seat, an immovable house. I like that. Malathi means utterance. Hothir, I think that might be pronounced like Hothir. Good, you can do that if you want to, yeah. Yeah, you were going to anyway, so I can just make it sound like you're actually listening to me. All right. That means abundance. Mahazioth means visions. Look at how this man named his generations that came after him. In the Jewish culture, you have to understand that name speaks to the identity, but not just the identity of the person, but the wholeness of who they are. And this man, Heman, named his children all with regard to who they are in the kingdom of God. See, in verse 5, it says, all these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer. Everyone say the king's seer. To exalt him according to the word of God, for God gave 14 sons and 3 daughters to Heman. All these were under the direction of their father to sing in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres for the service of the house of God. Asaph, Judith, and Heman were under the direction of the king. Go back to verse 1. Moreover, David and the commanders of the army directed particular people. Heman and his sons and daughters were part of those people. What was their job? Their job was to prophesy with lyres and harps and cymbals. Now, why would David, the king, and the commander of the armies of Israel, set apart for the service of Israel, a people to prophesy with instruments and song and so forth? Why? Why is that even chronicled? Why is that written down? Clearly because it's important. I think sometimes we think of worship, and so you know, worship is not singing. Singing is a part of worship. Song is a part of worship, but it is not the totality of worship. Worship is much bigger than just what we just did a little while ago. Much, much bigger. Okay? But it's an important part. Just like a road sign is an important part to the highway system. I mean, you can drive on a road without signs. But how many of you know the road would not work the way it's supposed to without the signs? Worship doesn't work the way it's supposed to without song. Does that make sense? Song isn't the totality of worship, but it's like the road signs. It helps get you to where you need to be. The word that the title of this message is Worship Aligns. David understood that what made Israel the people of God was not their names, their traditions, or even their religious behavior. It was that they placed themselves under or aligned themselves under the reign of God. Do y'all hear me? Now, I'm largely preaching to the choir here. Because you align yourselves under the reign, under the authority of God. You understand the critical nature that you have brought you and yours under the authority of God. See, here's the thing about God's rule, about who God is. First of all, God is his rule. You can't separate him from his rule. Just like you can't separate the love of God from the rule of God. If you're not willing to walk under the rule of God, then you're not willing to love God. In the same way, you separate yourself from the love of God. It says nothing can separate us from the love of God, not height, nor depth, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, except you. And so we romanticize our prayer, our worship. We even romanticize our love of God. Like, I don't have to love God, but God will still love me. God will still do for me. God will still bless me. Because God is Jehovah Jireh, God my provider. Yes, that is true. He is Jehovah Jireh, and you cannot change that whether you love him or not. But you can change whether you receive that provision. You can change whether you receive that love as to whether you reciprocate that love. God will continue to love you, but you can't receive it until you choose to accept it. And by default, when you accept the love of God, you begin to return it. The indication that you have accepted the love of God is that you return the love of God, and the love of God changes you. Yes. Behavior is an indication of your walk with God. Behavior doesn't form your walk with God, but behavior is an indication of your love of God. You want to know what's in your heart? Watch what someone does. Yes. It's very simple. Out of the abundance of the heart, The mouth speaks. So we know that's one action that occurs based on what's in the heart. But if you just follow someone around, I'll tell you one of the best ways, and my wife will agree with this wholeheartedly because she preaches on this, but you really want to see how much someone loves God, look at their checkbook. I'll just leave that right there. Yeah. All right. Hey, look. Time is getting too short to play around and be worried about whether this is going to be an offense to you or not. I've got to say what needs to be said, and then you got to sort this out with God. You hear what I'm saying? I just have to be straight with you. Time is getting far. There's too much to do. There are too many people that are at stake. There's too much of the earth that is dependent on the people of God saying, doing, and being who God called them to be. And stop playing around with it. I'm telling you, we are so concerned about how people will think of us and how they will feel about us and that they could reject us and so on, that we won't say that homosexuality is sin. Well, it is sin. Mutilating your identity as a transgender is sin. I'm sorry. God still loves you. I still love you. But that act is sin. And I can't pull that punch. Just like if you were robbing a bank, I can't condone it. You say, well, I'll tithe. I won't go there. It's wrong. It's sin. I've heard people like, they've gone down this road. Well, if I rob a bank and you don't know it, and I put the tithe in the offering plate, what are you going to do about it? What can I do? I don't know. But if you tell me about it, I have to give it back to you. I can't keep that. Yeah. But in the same way that if you give your tithe, you give offerings out of an honest gain, I can celebrate that, and I can make sure that the flow of God is blessing your life. And you say, well, how do you make sure of it? Because, listen, when I've assigned ladies to take care of the offerings and tithes in a very honest and accountable way, but one of the things they do is they do warfare over that thing before they do anything else. They're laying hands on it and invoking the kingdom of God and all the rights and privileges and benefits and blessings of the kingdom of God because of your faithfulness to come back to you, multiplied, pressed down, shaken together, and running over and returning to you. That's what they do. Because we believe this. This isn't a game. We really do believe this. We don't toy around with it. We don't dance around it. We believe it. I believe the word of God. And the word of God says that murder is wrong. It says that gossip is wrong. If you gossip around me, you're going to hear about yourself. Some of you have. That's gossip. Stop it. Why? Because I want you to be mad at me because, I'm just mean? Well, I might be a little bit mean. The truth of the matter is, though, I care more about you and being obedient to God than I care about what you think. I have to. If I love you, I can't. That's the way God is. That's the way our Father in heaven is. He's not real concerned about whether you get crosswise because you're the one that's got to fix that. Yeah. He's got to say what he has to say, and we as the people of God have to say what needs said. And if that offends you, well, the sin is on you. If you're offended, you're in sin.
Come on.
You say, well, now Pastor Jesus made a way for us to deal with offense. Yeah, I know, and he made for us a way to deal with sin. It's called the blood of Jesus. But if you're offended, you're in sin. You say, well, why would you say that? Because you're apart from love. Love covers a multitude of offenses. Listen, if you're not in love with people, then that in itself is outside of the will of God, which is the very definition of sin. Sin is not just behaving badly. Sin is behaving not the way that God intends for you to behave. Are you with me? Oh, okay. All right. You say, well, okay, but I struggle with some things. I understand that. That just means you're out of alignment. Did you ever get your back out of alignment? That's probably something else I need to focus the blood of Jesus on, because my back every now and then goes, it pops. You can feel it. Like, you know right when it happens, it goes pop. And then I feel like I'm walking like this, you know? Well, I'm not poking fun if you know, but I'm just saying that that's, it feels that way. And there's pain. And there's pain like right here in the top of my hip. And I know. And if I go lay down on the bed and I move around a little bit, take the pressure off of it, normally you'll feel a little popping and it's gone. The whole point is, when you're out of alignment, there's a whole lot of pain and dysfunction. And so when there's pain and dysfunction, it indicates you're out of alignment. So how do we get back in alignment? The thing that I'm struggling with, that I really have such trouble with, it means I'm out of alignment, so how do I get back in alignment? Think about it this way. God's reign, his government, is over the whole earth, right? You say, well, if his reign is over the whole earth, then why do we have dysfunction? Because he permits you to be rebellious. Am I wrong? He permits rebellion, does he not? He has to do that. Why? Because you have to choose whether you love God or not. And for you to love God, you have to have a choice not to love God. And if there's a choice not to love God and not to do what he would have you to do, that's called rebellion or sin. And but when you're in rebellion or sin, here's his arc of government, his arc of rule, you're over here. You're out of alignment. You're not aligned under the banner of God. You say, well, I'm under the banner of God with everything in my life. Well, but what about that? Well, that's just something I'm struggling with. Are you willing to give that to him? Not yet. Okay, so you're over here. Let's just admit what it is, because if we don't identify what it is, then we can't get it back here. Right? So we're over here struggling with something, and we need to get it over here. We're struggling with an addiction, or we're struggling with gossip, or we're struggling with not loving people, or we're struggling with being offended, or we're struggling with not trusting God. And it's a true struggle. And listen, my heart extends to you. I understand that there are things that I'm still working on that are still out here, but I'm working on. If God identifies them, my heart is to get them over here. And that's good. That doesn't mean they're under there immediately. It means that I'm working on them, and God is showing me, and I'm learning and growing. Are you with me? Okay. But the enemy still has some work that he's able to touch. I still got some, if you will, flesh off the altar that we talked about. Are you with me? But what I'm, part of our growing, part of our maturing is getting everything that's out here, under the banner of God. Does that make sense? Bang your hands together if you're agreeing with me. Okay, all right. I just, y'all kind of like deer in the headlights for a minute. So, all right, so here's what, but I want you to see what worship really is. So if you want to understand a word in the Word of God, go to the first mention of that word. And oftentimes that first mention, it's called the first mention principle of hermeneutics. Hermeneutic is the understanding, or the ability to interpret the scriptures, okay? And so one of the principles we use when you're in seminary, you learn, is called the first mention principle, okay? The first mention principle says the first time that word is mentioned, it's very important. Now, you got to remember, it's not talking about the English first mention. It's talking about the first mention in the original language. So Old Testament primarily is Hebrew. New Testament primarily is Greek. Primarily. And so the first mention in Greek is different than the first mention in Hebrew. because they're two separate words. And I'm going to identify both of them and their meanings, okay? So the first time the word worship is mentioned in the Old Testament is in Genesis 22, verse 5. Abraham was speaking to his young men, and he said, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you." Isn't it interesting? The first mention of worship has to do with fatherhood and sonship. It has to do with sacrifice. Think about that. So this is when Abraham was having to take Isaac up on the mountain. Are you with me? It says that he will worship. Now that word worship is the word shakal. Everyone say shakal. You can say it this way, shakal. All right. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Shakal. And it means literally to bow down. Everyone say to bow down. More specifically, to place one in complete subjection to another, to bow. That was the symbol when you were coming under someone or something, you bowed before them, right? We understand that, right? Okay. Now, in the New Testament, the Greek word is proskuneo. Proskuneo. Everyone say that. Proskuneo. Proskuneo. Yeah. And it just literally means to worship. But with regard to rule or to be led by. Worship isn't about affection. Although it has affection within it. But worship is really about rule. Or being led. Are you with me? Yes. Matthew 2, verse 2 is the first place we see. It says, where is he who has been born king? Everyone say king of the Jews. We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. To bow before him. To place ourselves under him. Why? Because the kings of the east, or the wise men, or the men that were trained up in Babylon under originally the school of Daniel. Daniel was positioned in Babylon for many things. One of the purposes he had, the reason God positioned him in Babylon in captivity, was so he could raise up men who would later identify kings and enthrone kings by their spiritual authority. How many of you know it takes spiritual authority to identify authority? Or said another way, I'm sorry, let me restate that. It takes authority to identify authority. One of the reasons we don't identify correct authority is because we don't have good authority. One of the ways you can know a person who is under great authority is because they recognize great authority. Oh, that's good. I break off that independent spirit in Jesus' name. I break it off in Jesus' name. I speak to that spirit of rebellion that says, I don't have to be under, that I don't have to recognize authority, that I, Father, I break it off in Jesus' name because ultimately it will lead to their destruction. Yes. I break it off of our children. I break it off of our adults because our adults learn it. Our children learn it from their parents. Yeah, I see you wiggling. And I just take the hand of the Spirit of God and I grab you by the throat and I strangle the very life out of you, the words that you're speaking and whispering. In the disciples of Jesus, in their ear, I strangle you and squeeze the life out of you by the finger of God. I'm not speaking to people. I'm speaking to a spirit right now. You spirit of rebellion, you have no more place. And I take the sword of the Spirit and I lop off your head. I separate you from your source of your breath and the darkness that you would carry, that you're trying to spread rebellion and darkness in this land. that you're trying to gain access to our children through the acts of the parents. And I break off the rebellion that's in parents in Jesus' name, who hide it so well, hide it behind a smile. I break it off of you in Jesus' name. Hide it under fake love. Fake love that says I love you, but won't do what the Father says. I break it off of you in Jesus' name. I break that fake love off of the body of Christ that says I love but don't obey God. That says I love but won't pick up my Bible to find out what God said and established in writing for me so I could easily hear the Spirit of the living God. I break that off in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, we're entering a season where the fakiness of Christianity is being removed. There is a wind that's blowing that is going to blow the wood, hay, and the stubble off of the body of Christ. And behind that is a fire coming that is going to reveal the gold. And there will be those found that were more powerful than anyone thought they could ever be. And there will also be those who think they're powerful that are find themselves to come to nothing because they don't. They're not willing to be obedient to God. Father, I pray for those right now in Jesus' name that they would repent quickly, that they would come under the right authority, and they would place themselves in alignment with you so the banner of God can cause them and their families to be blessed. But Lord, I ask this, if they're not willing to come under your authority, then remove them, not only in name, but physically from the house of God so that they may receive the just rewards so that they may ultimately repent and come back and get in right authority. Yes. You mark my words. There have been three or four times that I've said to my leadership team, I looked them in the eyes and I said, there are those of you that will not be here 1 year from now, because you're going to flake out, go into rebellion, whatever it was. After I said it, I was like, man, you just being mean again. It wasn't. It was the Spirit of God. Within a year, there were just about the exact amount that I said were gone. Listen, that doesn't make it any easier. I love people. I don't want to say those words. But I don't have a choice. I'm led by the Spirit of God, not by what makes me feel good. I have to be obedient to God, even when it doesn't feel warm and fuzzy. Are you with me? Sometimes, listen, You have to say the thing that offends someone so Holy Spirit can get in the midst of them and point to that wound that was caused so many years ago that allows them to be offended so that he can get that thing healed. Yes. Please don't offend people just because you're mad. Right. Don't do that. I can say this with great confidence because I know there are many of you, more of you here, that are in right alignment and that may have some things that they're working on. We're all working on something. Amen? Amen. But listen, but see, I can release with full confidence the blessing of God because his rule and his reign, his love, his goodness, his provision, his defense, all of those things are yours. But if we don't identify those things that are not God and we include everything as if it is God, then what is God can't be released. Stand up, we're going to close. I got to say that again. Listen, if we don't speak out and say what is not God and we identify everything as God, then we can't release the things that really are God because we're identifying everything as God when it's not. If we don't correctly identify, we can't correctly apprehend. No, not apprehend. What's the word I'm looking for? To grab hold of. To possess. To what? What? Attach. Apprehend? No, apprehend means to be afraid of, right? To apprehend, to grab hold of. That's the right word. I'm having a little mind block right now. It's all right. It's all right. Father, bring that under alignment in Jesus' name. All right. To apprehend. Yeah, to apprehend. Your obedience is your indication of your love. You can't say you love and deny. If I say I love this woman, then I have to be faithful to the agreement that we made. How can I say to her that I love her and am not faithful to her? How can you say you love God, but you're not faithful to Him? That's not love. That's standing in line for God to bless you, but you're not willing to stand under His authority. Father, I'm asking for a reckoning. You said, Lord God, that flames were coming. You said that there's correction that's coming. You said there's adjustment that's coming. You've spoken them over us and to us. Listen, for my leadership team, every one of you better read those prophetic words that Ryan released to us. Do not let me find one of you that has not read those. Do not say you're part of the leadership of this house and you're not willing to follow when the Spirit of God Himself speaks. Now let me speak the opposite of that. Because I love my team and I believe they're faithful, they will read the words of the prophet and they will obtain and pull down from heaven those very words. And you will see the fire of God like you've never seen before. You will see the blessing of God that you've never seen before. You will see your family come into the kingdom like you've never seen before. You will see your neighbors come into the kingdom. You will see healings take place that you've never seen before. You will see authority in the kingdom of God that you've never seen before. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yep, yep, yep. Don't worry, he's just getting joy. I wish we all had joy. I wish we all, when we heard the word of God, we would jump and dance and spit and sputter and roll around and come on, just get free a little bit. Okay, maybe I don't want us all doing that, okay. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Listen, when we worship, when we come and we sing together, that's the road sign. But if we follow the road sign, then it takes us down the road that we should be on. Men, stop standing like this during worship. How about going like this? How about surrendering? Break that stoic thing off of you. Listen what David did. David, a man after God's own heart, he danced before the Lord so powerfully and so mightily, that his kingly robes fell off. I don't know what he had on underneath the kingly robes. Hopefully there was some kind of undergarment there, but maybe, I don't know. Please don't do that if you understand what I'm saying. I'm free. Yeah, but I'm not. You hear what I'm saying? Oh, Lord, I break off in Jesus' name. That spirit of offense, I see you. I see you. I break you off in Jesus' name. I identify you for what you are. Your rebellion against the Word of God. And I break you off. Lord, I release into freedom those who are willing to walk in gentleness and forgiveness and kindness. I release, Lord God, the alignment of the kingdom of God, who those who are worship unashamedly, who will bow themselves before you in front of all men. Stop making your walk with God private. It's so private that people don't know whether you're saved or not. It has to be a testimony before all men. Why do you think we get out into the water and be baptized and don't always stay in here? Because I want all of the earth to be full of the glory of God and to see the people of God making confession of God before men that He is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Be not ashamed of that. I break that off. So just close your eyes right now. If there's some place that you have been out of alignment with God, and you know you've not been willing to bring it into alignment, I'm not talking about the things you're working on. We've all got those. And there's a grace over those because we're humble. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Right? But I'm talking about that thing that you've been outside of the camp, been outside of God, that you need to bring into the authority of God. And so here's what I'm going to have you do right now. Just with everyone, close your eyes. Here's all I want you to do. If you want to bring that before God and you want to say, I want to bring that into your authority under your banner, then I'm just going to lift my hands up to God. Go ahead. If that's you, lift your hands up to God. And just bow to Him. Declare these words. You are Lord of my life, of all of my life. Forgive me for my pride and rebellion. I choose now to bring this under your kingdom into correct alignment. Father, I worship you. There is no one greater, no one on this earth, no one in heaven like you, Father. And I choose this day to worship you and to declare that all that I am is yours. All that I am, my will is yours. I give my will to you. I choose to be led by the Spirit of God and not by my own stubbornness. I break that stubbornness off in Jesus' name. And I yield to you, Holy Spirit, in all things. Listen. Listen, I have a word for you. Be obedient quickly. Be obedient. Everyone say that. Be obedient quickly. I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord will be the first to speak. He's not ashamed. He's not afraid. He'll speak to you. He'll say, hey, wait, stop. Don't do that. And I'm telling you, if you hesitate being obedient to Holy Spirit, oftentimes there's another more reasonable voice that comes and says, well, you don't need to do that right now. You can take care of that later. Now that's demonic. Be obedient quickly. Touch someone beside you. Say, be obedient quickly. In Jesus' name. All right. I was in a really foul mood when I got up 2 days ago. I mean, I was just mad. You ever get up mad? I know none of you ever. Like, you all get up sweet and, you know. But I'm being honest with you. I was mad. I was mad because of this that was going on. I was mad at this person who's like just being stupid. I was mad at this situation. I know. I'm just being. Can I be honest with you? Is that all right? I was mad. And you know what? I was mad at God. How come they get to misbehave? Knock them on their butt, Lord. That's why he didn't make me God, okay? So I go out, and first thing I do in the morning, I grab my coffee, and I go sit down, and I spend time with the Lord. And I'm like, and I know I'm wrong. I know I have a bad attitude. I know it. I don't know what to do about it because my attitude stinks. And I even said to the Lord, Lord, I get it. My attitude stinks. I'm mad. I'm just... Holy Spirit said, you just need to worship. Just worship. Don't think about it. Don't try to reason through it. Because like when your attitude's bad like that, you don't need someone to come and say, well, you know, if you're in faith or, you know, it's like, shut up. You know what I'm talking about? It's what you want to say to me, but don't when I give you that kind of advice, right? So listen, so I'm sitting there, and I just turn on my iPad and turn it to worship. And I don't just sing, and I don't just listen to the music. That's not worship. I enter in. I just close my... I mean, because as soon as I'm real sensitive to worship, and as soon as it starts, my heart goes... It's like I'm being washed, and I just... sitting there at my dining room table with my arms lifted up, and I'm just worshiping God, and I'm crying because I know, man, I've been just such a spoiled brat to my father, and I've not been a good son, and I've not been a good husband, and I've not been a good father, and I've not been a good pastor in that moment. I'm just asking for forgiveness and help me. Because, man, just the winds of the world have been blowing so hard. Help me, Father. And see, one of the things that worship does, it makes your problems smaller by making him larger. It directs your attention to him. You look and obey the road signs. And I'm just lost then in him. And he begins then, after some moments with him, he begins to explain to me about the situation and what's going on with them and why they're being stupid and just all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, by the end of that time, I just wanted to love people. I didn't feel condemned. I didn't feel unequipped. I didn't feel bad. I didn't feel like a bad son. I felt like a good son. I didn't feel like a bad husband. I felt like a good husband. Now, nothing really changed except that I was in his presence. See, what that did, it took from being out here, it brought it here. I can't tell you what goes on in my back when I lay on the bed and my back's out of place and I move around a little bit and it just kind of pops into, it comes into alignment. I just know it works. So I'm here to tell you, when you feel out of alignment, worship. And I'm not talking about making mental gymnastics and going through the mental arguments of, well, I guess she did that. No, don't do that. Don't you do that. Yes. Just get before the Father. Yes. Just quickly get before the Father and worship. If you do that, you get into alignment very quickly. Amen? So lift up your hands to God. Father, bless them and keep them. Make your face to shine on them. Lift up your countenance on them now. Lord, help us to be worshipers, people who get into alignment in the presence of God. Sometimes we do it with singing. Sometimes we do it with music. David found it to be so important that he and the commanders of his army would have worshipers prophesy continually over their army, because they knew they cannot win this battle on the earth without it. You cannot win this battle in your life without deep, presence-filled worship. Learn, young people, learn to worship, not sing. God's not interested in the quality of your voice in that moment. In that moment, he just wants a joyful noise. In that moment, he just wants your presence. In that moment, he just wants you to turn your face and heart toward him. And if you do, he will touch you. He will fill you. He will align you. You need aligned worship. Father, bless them, keep them, make your face to shine on them, lift up your countenance on them now and give them your peace and your grace. I just prophesy with the instrument of my voice that these are worshipers, that these are people that come into alignment. The children come into alignment quickly because they worship. The women come into alignment quickly because they worship. The men come into alignment quickly because they worship, in Jesus' most awesome and powerful name. And all the people of God said, amen. City Church, go and be blessed. I'll see you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church. And you can find an easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higby. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.